Amen. Our scripture reading this morning can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and once you have taken possession of it, and once you live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, the first of your harvest from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place which the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord your God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall make response before the Lord your God, saying, a wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. But there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and signs and wonders. And he brought us into this land, into this place, and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And then you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner among you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you pray with me? So this week has been a week. If you were at Port Colden for the Ash Wednesday service, if you went to Montana for the Ash Wednesday service, if you were here for the Tuesday burning of the palm service, which I burned myself on real bad, and which my mom says still cannot believe that y'all allowed me to do. I've been calling this week a mini Holy Week. For pastors, for seminarians, the week of Easter is called Holy Week. We quickly walk to Easter. We quickly walk through the Last Supper, through the cross, to Easter. And so Holy Week is a big week in the life of the church. And so I've been calling this week kind of a mini Holy Week between the Shrove Tuesday service on Tuesday, the Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, the Cobra funeral on Friday. And today, this week has been full. A note on the Cobra funeral, I'm told Pastor Larry did a great job. We're going to pray a prayer that I was given before church started as we pray about Barbara and those who are mourning, but I'm told Larry did a good job, and I've been praying with him and talking to him and calling him. It was, I think, one of his first funerals. And so the scripture this morning I like because it's really one of the first in scripture. It's one of the first orders of worship. It's one of the first ways that we've been told how to worship, how to praise God in the Bible. Moses is dying at this point in Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 26. Moses is dying, and so in the last about 15 chapters in Deuteronomy, he's giving last instructions to the Israelites. This is what you should do if you're fighting. This is what you should do if you're married. This is how you should divorce. This is how you need to live together as people. I cannot come with you into the promised land. And so when you get there, this is what you should do. And so chapter 26 is right about at the end of the you shoulds. Chapter 26 is when you go in and when you worship. When you start planting and farming and growing your food, bring the first of your fruits. Bring the first of the produce. Bring the first of the goods that you have and are given in this land and bring it to the altar of God. And if you remember me talking about the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was actually where God sat on earth. The Ark was his footstool in the temple. And so we were instructed by Moses to bring up our fruits, bring it before the altar, give it to the priest, and say, we were sojourners. Our ancestors, our forefathers were travelers without a home. They were wanderers and went into Egypt. We grew, we became numerous, and then Pharaoh enslaved us. And when our cries became too loud, we cried out to the Lord for salvation, for deliverance, for justice. And God brought us out of Egypt and to this land of milk and honey. And so the first of our fruits go to God, because God gave it to us. And so all week I've been thinking about this from a sermon about giving and tithing. How are we supposed to give our money to God? I've been thinking about it in light of Ash Wednesday and Shrove Tuesday, the funeral on Friday. How are we supposed to worship God? How are we supposed to thank him? To show him that we love him, to say it out loud with our mouths and with our lips, that you are wonderful, God. And so that's what I think worship is. That's where we ended up. A week full of worship. The first week of Lent, and I think for me at least, I know that there are some things in worship that I just don't know why we do these things. I select the hymns every week because, I'm your pastor and I get to. And on, what was it, Monday? So on Monday, because I was way ahead this week, amen. Lately it's been like Friday I send out the hymns. On Monday this week, I send out Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 496. And in my email I go, I've never sang that song before. That's exactly what a couple of people said to me. They're like, really? You've never sang that before? But then there are songs that I've chosen, and I think back in like August and September, where there's been a couple of hymns I've chosen that you've never sang before. Especially when we start hitting the Faith We Sing. I don't think we've ever sang some of the songs in the Faith We Sing before.
No.
And so there are times in worship where we just don't know what's going on. This week is another one of those weeks because Praise to the Lord the Almighty is not 377, it's actually 139. And I forgot to pray. So this is actually working perfectly into my sermon. I should mess up more often. I heard a joke, and I'm changing it a little bit for the context of the church. A prison chaplain is appointed to a new prison. So he goes in, he's giving his first sermon, and he wants to keep things light, so he tells a joke. It's pretty much preaching 101 is tell a joke if you want to lighten up the crowd. So he stands up and he goes, so this duck walks into a flower shop, and all of the prisoners just start groaning and looking at him like, come on, man. And so the chaplain turns to one of the prisoners and goes, what gives? I'm trying to tell a joke, I'm trying to lighten up the mood. And the prisoner says, man, we have been in here for so long that we've heard all the jokes before. So instead, we just We put them down as numbers, and if you want to tell a joke, you just say a number. Here, watch this. 37, and everyone starts laughing. So the chaplain says, all right, I get it. Let me start over. Good morning, church. 42. And the room is silent. And so he goes, what gives? You know, I thought I just had to say the number, and that was the joke. The prisoner says, man, I don't know what to tell you, but some people just cannot tell a joke. And so, numbers are funny, right? Hymnal numbers are funny. Sweet Hour of Prayer, I've never sang that song before. I've been trying to, I'm sorry?
How to pick it.
How to pick it? One of my classmates at school, we were talking, and she lives out in New York, and she was asking me, or I was asking her, I said, I need to pick some hymns, because I'm running out of time. Again, this was on Monday. And she was like, I have not heard Sweet Hour of Prayer in a while. Do you want to sing that one? I'm like, sure, I've never sang it before. And then she went, well, it's somewhat, at Drew, we have what's called an inclusive language policy. We don't really refer to God as God the Father. We say God the Creator. We don't really try to use He language. We try to use God language. And I see some faces, and this was not where I meant to preach on, and I got about 10 minutes, as I told Larry, but I guess we'll talk about this instead. There is a valid explanation for that. God does not have a gender. God does not. He does not, and I still struggle with language like this. God does not have a gender. God is God. It's beyond human logic and understanding, and God does not have a gender. The he masculine language is more how we relate to God. I push back on this policy a little bit. I think that the familial understanding of Jesus and God the Father as a father-son relationship is important. But in all honesty and truth, I look at God as a father figure when I meet someone who is embracing and caring and loving and strong and will beat up people for me. But I look at God the Mother, and I will pray to God the Mother when I want a creator, when I want someone who's loving and feeds me and takes care of me. I also see a God the Mother. The Holy Spirit is another one of those. It's not really a he, it's not really a she. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit in both. Wisdom is a woman, but the great comforter is a man. And so Drew has this policy of inclusive language. You're not supposed to talk about mankind, you say humanity. You're not supposed to say God came for all of man, you should say God came for all of human. Just to be more inclusive of our language. So it's not just about the men in the church, it's about the women too. It's about all siblings in Christ, not just men and women. Anyway, so my classmate said, you should sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I haven't heard it in a while, but it uses a lot of male masculine language. Is that okay? And I went, Janelle, I think that's fine because my church will love it if I use some masculine language. Because I use the masculine language. I pray to God the Father all the time. I say he all the time, as much as my classmates might struggle with that sometimes. Anyway. So I chose Sweet Hour of Prayer because Janelle told me to, because she hasn't sang it in a while. But it got me thinking, again, because we are doing, because the Deuteronomy text is teaching us how we should pray, how we should bring up our offerings, it made me think of the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. There's that language again. All creatures here below, praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 52 weeks in a year, I'm 30. I've sang that over 300 times. I'm fairly young. There are people in this room who are like this side of 50, you know, like 45-ish is probably the oldest person in the room. You've sang it hundreds and thousands of times. Thank you. I've been trying. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How many times have we said these? I don't even need to look at the music anymore. Although every time I do, I go, oh, I'm supposed to go down instead of up. Because I can sight read. But how many times do we sing that song? How often do we sing it and we not think about the words? How many times in church do we skip a prayer because we don't think about it? And so, because I got real interested in this, I did my research and my homework. It turns out the doxology is a teaching moment for the church. It's Trinitarian in nature. Praise Him. Oh, now I don't have it because I said it too many times. I'm going to steal yours. Is that okay? I'll get it back. Peggy's just got it, like, printed out. It's perfect for me. This is the wrong one. I was not prepared this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's God the Father. Praise Him, all creatures here below, is God the Son. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the one. The Holy Protestants, and especially Methodists, we don't know how to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is kind of like the red-headed stepchild of the Trinity, which I was also. We don't understand the Holy Spirit sometimes. But praise Him above, ye heavenly host, which is the angels. Praise the Holy Spirit above the angels. Praise God above the angels. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That one is fairly simple to read. And then we sing the Amen. And I've never been raised in a church where our hymns, we end with Amen. Though I was doing some research, and that was common about 20 years ago, maybe. We used to end every hymn by singing an Amen. My church in Long Island, we actually did that. We would sing an Amen after every hymn, and I used to think it was real weird. It's not in my hymnal. It's not what I was taught. It's not how I was raised. I've never sang it that way. So why would we sing an Amen at the end of it? We sing the doxology every week. We're going to do it in about 5 minutes. Why do we do that every week? So as I think we begin our Lenten journey, as I think we begin this long, slow, but way too quick walk to Calvary, as we get ready for Christ to die on that cross and then to be raised again 3 days later, I think we need to slow down a little bit. I think we need to think about our worship a little bit. Why do we do things this way? Why do we sing the doxology? Because we're praising God. Exactly what Moses commanded us to do in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. We're praising God. We are saying what we're supposed to say. We're singing what we're supposed to sing. And because the pastor on Monday chooses the hymns, those are the hymns we sing. And so this Lent, my goal is to keep talking about worship. We're going to look at the passing of the peace. We're going to look at communion come April. We're going to look at these little things in worship that we do that I don't think we think about anymore. Because they're important. If they weren't important, why would we do it? If they weren't important, why would people yell at me when I get them wrong? Not that anyone here yells at me. You guys are lovely. But if they weren't important, why would it be a problem if I changed the order of worship? If we miss something, if we take out the Apostles' Creed and put in something else, would that change our worship? Yes, but we're going to talk about that on the Apostles' Creed Day instead of right now. My point is, this is what we're going to do in Lent. We're slowing down. We're going to become more intentional. If you're keeping a Lenten promise, if you're fasting from something specific, I encourage you to keep doing that. We're going to talk about that as well. But this Lent, this is what we're doing. We're going to slow down and look at worship. And then when we sing the doxology, hopefully you sing those words a little bit more intentionally. If you read your hymnal, and if you can read music, hopefully you read the text a little bit closer. Look at the Trinity. Look at the Trinity. Look at the nature of God. 3 in 1, 1 in 3. When we read the Apostles' Creed, it comes up again. And when we do the Nicene Creed, which we'll do in a couple of weeks, it's going to come up again. And so for this Lent, we'll slow down. We're going to look at worship. Talk about why we have two candles on our altar. Talk about the fact that this isn't an altar. That it's the Lord's table. Karen's all confused, but that's okay. Talk about why we stand when we sing and not sit while we sing. Except for the second hymn, which is something uniquely Warren County that I have never seen before. I've never been in a church where we stand, where we sit for one of the congregational hymns. That is interesting, and that's why I keep picking songs like On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, and y'all are sitting. I keep picking the really fun ones to sing while sitting, especially with your diaphragm all scrunched up like that. It doesn't work very well, and I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun, which is why I keep picking those kinds of hymns. So we're going to do this. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going in Lent up to Easter. If you have questions, if you want to know something specific, let me know. Send me an email, give me a call. Come to coffee hour tomorrow. We have 8 weeks of Lent. It's 40 days, and so that's 6 weeks of Lent. I don't know, math's hard. If you need anything, if you want something specific, if you have a question, why do we always do that? Why do we pray a confessional prayer, which we're going to do today? Why don't we have confession in the Methodist Church? Why do we do the Apostles' Creed? Why do we stand up for the Apostles' Creed? These are things we're going to talk about, and if you have anything specific, let me know. But for now, my takeaway, because we're supposed to have a takeaway, my takeaway is to slow down, think about it. That's what we're doing this Lent. Think about the doxology when we sing it in a couple of minutes. Read those words, or if they're memorized, think about them as you're singing them. We'll walk a little bit deeper, we'll walk a little bit slower, we'll be a little bit more biblical when we do so. Amen.